Good morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Pastor Vinny. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're delighted you're here for our summer celebration service. I wanted to tell you a story to set up our sermon for today. It's something that took me by surprise. I was at my uncle's and aunt's house, and we were having dinner with them. My family was there, my three girls and my wife, and like normally happens, they asked me, the pastor, to say grace, and so I said grace, and all of a sudden I found myself in an argument with my uncle, who's a very smart man who I really look up to, who actually studied for the ministry when he was much younger, and he was telling me that I should not use the word blessed. And he was saying he's very uncomfortable using the word blessed. And it was almost like what he was saying to me was that what I was saying was that I'm inside a circle of blessing. And when he heard me use the word blessed in my prayer or in our conversation, it was almost like I was saying, I'm inside the circle of God's blessing. And I don't know about you guys, but maybe you're outside of God's blessing. Like I'm God's favorite or something like that. It really got me thinking about being blessed. Can we as Christians call ourselves blessed? And if we can call ourselves blessed, the second question would be, is that enough just to be blessed, or would we want to ask God to continue to bless us and to bless us even more? And maybe why would we want to ask for that? So it got me thinking about this. There's a song that was written thousands of years ago. We don't have the tune to this song, but we have the lyrics. And we find it in the Old Testament book of the Bible called Psalms. Okay? And I want you to see, as we read this psalm and the lyrics of this song, if you hear some of the answers to those two questions that I just proposed. Are we blessed, and should we be seeking more of God's blessing? So in your take-home, if you received the bulletin when you came in, there's a take-home in there. In the take-home is the scriptures we're going to read from Psalm 67. If you did not get one of those bulletins and you'd like one, can you just raise your hand real quick, and we'll see if the ushers can find your hand and deliver this to you. Anybody? Just raise up your hand and we'll get one to you. Okay. All right, so what I want you to do, and I want the kids to be involved in this as well, whenever we get to a word that's underlined or bolded, either underlined or bolded, I want you to say that word. All right, I'll say all the other words. When we get to an underlined one or one that's bold, you go forth, right? Do you see underlines and bolds in there? All right, just want to make sure. Okay, here we go. It says, Psalm 67, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. John Calvin was a reformer, and he wrote some commentary about this psalm, and in that commentary he said that this psalm is about trust in the continuation and increase of divine favor. Let me say that again. He said this psalm is about trust in the continuance and increase of divine favor. So Calvin's saying that we're blessed. We should trust that God's going to continue to bless us, and we should trust that he's going to increase that divine favor or blessing in our lives. I think it's obvious that the songwriter here of these lyrics sees himself as blessed, sees the people of Israel, among whom he worships, as blessed, I think it's also obvious that he's also seeking even more of God's blessing than he already has. But what struck me about this was the songwriter's motivation for seeking God's blessing. And I want to make sure that we don't miss this. This was the first thing that stood out to me. Because when I seek God's blessing, I often approach God like a kid sitting on Santa's lap with my list of things that I want God to do for me and for the people that I know. James says we have to be careful about our lists of the things that we want God to do, because if our motivation is we just want God to bless us, he says that we don't get what we ask from God because our motives are all wrong. We want God to give us pleasure. We want God to bless us. We want what we want, essentially. And that's all we care about. And if that's the case, then James says you're not going to get your prayers answered. Here, the psalm writer is clear. He says, God bless us as a nation, the nation of Israel, so that your ways may be known on the earth, so that his salvation will be known among the peoples and the nations. Secondly, he says, bless us so that the peoples, not just Israel, but all the peoples of the world, would praise God. So he uses this word, all the peoples, to make sure that we know it's not just Israel, but it's going to go beyond. He says, may the nations be glad. May they sing for joy. And he says, why would they do that? Why would they sing for joy? Why would they be glad? He says, they would be glad because God rules with equity, or in a sense, God is fair. Now, we could say that God isn't fair, because if God was fair and gave us what we deserved as sinful people, we would not be blessed. We would not be in the circle of God's blessing at all. But I think what the commentators suggest here is that it's not that we get what we deserve, but it's that God uses his power for the benefit of those who need it. I don't know about you, but I need God in my life. I need the blessings of God. And I'm glad that God doesn't necessarily give me what I deserve. He's even more fair than that. He has made a provision for me through Jesus Christ to make sure that I don't get what I deserve. I get blessed. I'm inside the circle of God's blessing. So bless us, Lord, that your ways may be known, that your salvation may be known among the nations. Bless us, Lord, so that all the peoples will praise you, because you rule with equity and you also guide the nations. So God is said to be a guide here, and this brings up the image of a shepherd tending sheep. And this is the way that God works with the nations, to try to bring them into his fold, to try to bring them to do justly the way that he does, and to bless them. And thirdly, he says, bless us, Lord, so that the ends of the earth will fear or honor you. So God's graciousness, God's face shining upon us, God's blessing is to be sought, not for the sake of the people Israel, not for my own sake, but for the sake of those who are outside of God's family currently, that they might honor God the same way that God's people do. So this circle of blessing that you and I may stand in if we are believers is not fixed, it is not static, and it really isn't about us. Me being in the circle of God's blessing isn't about me, according to this psalm. We are blessed to be a blessing. I heard Pastor Joe say it in a sermon I missed when I was on vacation. I listened to it on the website. We are blessed to be a blessing. I heard that within the first few years of attending this church, and that statement has stuck with me. And I pray it a lot with my kids. Lord, bless us, bless our family, so that we can be a blessing. That has really stuck with me. And I think that's what's at the heart of this psalm. Lord, bless us so that we may be a blessing. This circle is meant to go beyond us, to our neighbors, and eventually to the ends of the earth. So, we might be favored, but we are not God's favorites. God will bless us so that we can be a blessing to others, so that those people can be a blessing to others, with the result that God gets honored through it all. That's God's plan. This reminds me, there's a theory that has come up in the last, 10, 20 years. It's called 6 degrees of separation. It's the idea that you could link me to any other person on earth with just 6 steps. That is, I know someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone, and we go 6 of those, and then we find this random person in the world somewhere else that I can be linked to. So just to give you a visual of that, can I have someone over here stand up? Someone in the front? Okay. And then can I have someone in the second row stand up? Oh, Lord, look at a family going on here. And it said, sorry, third row. Can you reach him? Can you reach him from where you are? Okay, you can reach. Good. And then let's go back 2 more rows. Can someone there reach over to Vince? Can you guys reach each other? Okay. So that's 1, 2, 3. Next row. 2 rows back. All right. Now 2 more rows. And then the back row. Okay. Just now, kids, stay standing. You don't have to be touching each other. But let me show you how this works. I'm going to link myself to someone in Togo, which is in West Africa. Now, I've been there before, but I'm not going to link myself to someone in Togo from my trip there. Okay? I have a friend, a pastor friend. I get together with them actually tomorrow. I get together with them every 2 weeks with some other pastors, and we pray for one another and care for one another, listen to each other's stories. So you're going to be Christoph. Okay, Christoph is my friend, and he's from Togo, West Africa. He has a prayer center, an evangelistic center in Togo. Even though he lives here, he has a prayer center there that he's organized. So we're going to make you a woman, sorry. There's a woman in Togo who's at this prayer center, and she prays for the church that my friend Christoph is planting, and she prays for the work of this evangelistic center in Togo. Now, she knows someone that's part of a church. Now, this church is in the middle of nowhere, which a lot of Togo is in the middle of nowhere. But this, I say in the middle of nowhere because the evangelistic center is actually in a big city. But in the middle of nowhere, she knows this person who is in a bush, in the bush, basically, in a church there. Now, this person just isn't just anyone. They were a witch doctor. They were the village elder of the bush, of that particular village. Well, that person has a son. We go to the next person. And that son has gone into the ministry and is planting churches. That son has been working with someone else in one of the churches that he's planting that knows this random person that I'm linking myself to now through having known this person. So that's the idea of 6 degrees of separation. You guys can sit down. Thank you. So you see how God could bless me in such a way that I am a blessing to my friend Christoph, who could then be a blessing to someone else, to someone else, to someone else, to someone else, and someone I've never met before in Togo, West Africa, I could have some connection to through God's blessing. So we could call that maybe 6 degrees of God's blessing, that somewhere in the world, somewhere, there's someone that's been blessed because God has blessed me and I have blessed someone else, and that blessing has gone out in concentric circles to others. So God blesses us in our circle, and we're a blessing to the people in our church, and our church is a blessing to people outside the church, until people from every tongue and every nation are engulfed in a circle of blessing and grace. Now, the question that I have is, how does this blessing go from my circle to reaching someone over in West Africa, someone I don't know, someone I'll probably never meet? How is that actually going to happen? The question would be, what does it look like to seek God's blessings to the ends of the earth? The psalm shows us first that we need to live in expectation. God is a great husbandman. He's a great gardener, and he desires to bless his children. And his blessing is like the rain that falls from heaven. What a great day to talk about rain. God's blessing is like the rain, which he expects to yield a harvest in us and then through us. God is bringing his blessing like rain into our lives. So God is being gracious to us. God is making his face to shine upon us. And if I just stop there, we could be really comfortable, right, with God blessing us and making his face to shine upon us. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He starts talking about how God makes his ways known in our lives. And I think about the way that God has made his ways known in my life. And a lot of those times have been painful times, have been times where I had to learn something through trial, or I had to learn something because I was getting off the path of God and he was bringing me back onto the path. So those are a little bit more difficult. Then he says that God also shows off his salvation power or his healing power in our lives. And I think of the times that God has done that have also been some very difficult times. So we can say that God's blessings are things that we could readily recognize as blessings that make us happy and comfortable, maybe. Or we could say there are other things that God does in our lives that aren't so happy. He's making us more like Jesus, and that can be a very difficult process. If we look at the book of Haggai, that was certainly true for the people of Israel during that time. And we've talked about trials and how they help make us look more like Jesus as we follow him through them. How do we know that God is working in the things that we can definitely see readily as blessings and the things that we might not see readily? How can we be so confident that God is blessing us in all those things? In Shine last month, some of our students memorized a verse. It was Philippians 1:6. Kids, anybody, any of you remember that verse? You could come up here and say it into the microphone. Anybody? Can I have a microphone? Anybody remember the verse? Well, somebody's got to remember it. Anybody? None of you remember the memory verse? I guess I didn't do a good job when I was teaching Shine that week, huh? Does anybody remember it's being confident? It starts there, being confident. Nobody remembers it. We're going to be shy today? Okay. If one of the kids was willing to come up and say the verse, it's being confident of this, that God who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God's blessing is nothing more than him carrying to completion a good work that he's already started in us. And Paul says that we can be confident that God is going to carry this good work to fruition, that he's going to carry it to an expected end. So living in expectation means that we believe that God is going to work in our lives. But watch this, he's going to work in our lives and bless us in ways that outsiders, people who are outside the faith, will see his work in us and then be drawn into this circle of blessing that we've been talking about. That's God's plan. This week, a woman called the church, and I've never met her before, but she's met other people here in the church. She came to once something that our church did several years ago, and it was a huge, huge milestone for her. It was a huge changing point in her life that she came to this particular church event. So she was calling us because we've been influential in her life, and she asked me to pray for her, and I was a little confused because I didn't know her, like I said. And I said, how do you want me to pray for you? And she said, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm sure God will tell you how to pray for me. I'm like, okay, we're going to see how spiritual I am right now. Okay. And she said, well, I will tell you that I believe God's going to bless me. And I want to thank him in advance of him blessing me. So you can go with that and let God tell you whatever he wants to tell you to pray for me. The thing that struck me about this woman who's in a desperate situation right now is that she expects God to bless her. And when God does bless her, guess there's a pastor in Framingham who's going to be blessed when God blesses her. There's a pastor in Framingham whose faith is going to be increased when God actually blesses her. And I can imagine there are people who are outside the faith who are part of her life right now. And as those people are tracking with her and see what desperate need she's in, when God does bless her in that desperate need, it's going to be an occasion for those people who don't know God to say, what is this thing about God? You said you were living in the expectation that God was going to bless you, and now I see God actually blessed you. And that's going to honor God. That's the idea of living in expectation, and you and I can live that way. The next time that you go to ask for God's blessing, and you should ask for God's blessing, I want to encourage you to stop and ask him to bless you so that the people outside of God's family can see how he's working in your life so that they can know his salvation. You know why I'm telling you to do that? Because I know that's a prayer that God will answer. There's lots of prayers that we can pray. We don't know if God's going to answer those prayers, but this is a prayer that I believe God will answer. Next, the psalm shows us that we are to seek God's blessing, and if we're going to do that, we need to live out loud. He says, may all the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity. You guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise you, God. May all the people praise you. St. Augustine's comments were helpful to me here as I read them. He said that the blessing of God is inside of us. And if you think about it, Christians have Jesus Christ in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, Jesus' very own spirit. So we could say that Jesus is in us, and he is the hope of glory. So the blessing of God is in us, and that's why we're in a circle of God's blessing. And because this blessing is in us, we turn that blessing outward, and we turn it back into God through praise. If his blessing is the rain that we talked about earlier, then our blessing back to God is the fruit. So he blesses us with rain, and that is a blessing to us, and then the fruit of that is our praise back to God. It's almost like we have found buried treasure. And as we have found this buried treasure of God's blessing, we thank God and we enjoy this treasure of who he is in our lives, the source of all our blessings, the fount of all our blessings. And this is praise. When we thank God and enjoy him, this is a praise for us. We are glad. We are singing for joy. It was a joyful experience for me to sit up here in the front row and listen to you all sing this morning, because it comes from a heart that's hopefully wanting to praise God and thank him for what he's done in your life. And we can do this every single day, not just on Sunday. There's a couple in our church I want to tell you about. They made 12 bids on 12 houses to try to buy a house here in Metro West. They lost every single one of those bids on every single one of those 12 houses until they came to one and they said, this is our dream home in Framingham. It was in their price range. It had new plumbing. It had new hardwood. It had a new kitchen, all right? Just imagine your dream home. Imagine you walked into it and it was in your price range and you're gonna get ready to make an offer on it. At the open house, they found out that there were some celebrity designers who had designed this house. I think it was Flipping Boston. I don't know, has anybody watched those real estate shows on TV where they transform houses? It's pretty amazing. Celebrity designers, this is amazing. This is our big break, they said to themselves. So they overbid, desperate to receive God's blessing of this house. As it turned out, they were denied that home. It wasn't until another open house a little bit later, another offer on another house. I think this is now like 13. And they're not really excited about this particular house, but this particular house seems to meet all their needs. And so they make a bid and it's accepted. They move into the house. Things go well for them. As it turns out, the gentleman who overbid them on that previous house that they thought was their dream house walks into a local store. In that store is a relative of this couple in our church. And this man begins to talk about his house and how celebrity designers had come into this house and done it. And the relative's thinking, wait a minute, this is the house that my family member was bidding on. And he begins to tell them the story of what happened after he moved in. What they didn't know was that the house had been sitting vacant for a long time before the celebrity designers got there and redesigned the house. So what happened to this man? The sewage went bad. You never want that to happen, right? The sewer went bad. The septic system, I guess. The pipes broke. The hardwood floor got ruined. So what this couple, you know, obviously they didn't want to be happy that this man went through all this, but they were grateful that they didn't have to go through it. And they were just praising God that he gave them something that was what they needed, maybe not what they wanted, but what they needed. And I was thinking there's a few lessons that I learned from listening to their story. The first thing I learned is that something that we think might be a blessing in our lives might actually not be a blessing, might be a curse. Had they gotten that house, they would have had to live with all those nightmares. Sometimes that thing that we think is not so much a blessing, this house that meets our needs, but we're not really jazzed up about it, now turns out to be a tremendous blessing. They feel so blessed to be in this house. But I think for our purposes today, the third one kind of fits best the psalm. And that is, I want you to, when I heard this story, I don't know about you, but when I heard this story, my faith increased. I hope yours did as well. I was called into the circle of blessing that this couple was in, that God blessed them in this way. And I also called that man who is now living in that broken home. I also tried to call him into the circle of blessing by praying for him, because that's a difficult thing to live with. But I want you to imagine the people that work with this couple in our church. I want you to think about their family members who don't know Christ, their coworkers who don't know Christ. They have been tracking with them. House number one declined. House number two, house number three, through 12 or 13 houses to finally get the house that they got. And God worked in their lives now, and they have been able to tell these stories about how God was working. Was it painful? Yes, it was painful. Was it taxing? Of course it was. But when we live out loud, when we praise God, people from outside God's family can come into the circle of God's blessing as well, and they can come to know the God of blessings the way that we do, or they can come to know him better, and hopefully God will build upon those seeds that are sown when we live out loud. So I want to encourage you, the next time that you go through a trial like this couple went through, I want to encourage you to ask God to bless you. But I want you to also pray that God would bless the people who are watching you go through that trial. That's what it means to live out loud. And there's one more thing I want you to see about seeking God's blessing, and that is that we live for more than ourselves. We live for more than ourselves. It says here, the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Every plentiful harvest that happened in Israel was a fulfillment of God's pledge to be with his people and to empower them to fulfill this mission of this expanding circle of blessing to the nations, the harvest of reaching others with the good news. Last week, I was on vacation in Missouri with my wife's family. We had a family reunion, and we went to the creek. Anybody know what a creek is? It's like a little river. It's a creek in our terms here in the Northeast. When we went to the creek, God must have like wired me to want to be like a beaver or something like that, because as soon as we get to the creek, I want to like build dams with rocks and sticks and things like that. And that's what I just start doing it like automatically. I don't even think about it. And I can say that I worked really, really hard to try to get the water. And I could kind of get the water to stop. But you know what? In the end, as much as I tried to hold that water in and create a pool, the water just kept flowing. It didn't matter how hard I worked, the water just kept flowing. Now, I was able to dam it up a little bit, but it kept flowing. And as I was meditating on this psalm and I was trying to build those dams, I was thinking, this is kind of like me in life. I want God to bless me. And sometimes I want God to bless me just to bless me. I don't really care about anybody else. And that's like me building this dam, trying to capture God's blessings and trying to keep God's blessings to myself. And what I learned while I was making those dams and the water just kept flowing, no matter how hard I tried, was that I can try all I want to capture God's blessing and keep it to myself. But really, God's desire is for those blessings to come to me and then to flow through me and to flow downstream to someone else. And I hope that you'll see that through the psalm that we read today. So this kind of life where God's blessings flow to you and then through you is the thing where Jesus was saying that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know, it was a lot of work for me to try to build those dams and keep that water to myself. Jesus says that's not the kind of life he wants me to live. He wants me to live a life that's easy, easier, and with that burden of having to do it all myself lightened because I'm yoked up with him. But the truth is, when I really think about these things that we talked about today, I think this is not realistic. And here's why. If it's up to me, I'm not going to be very successful with living in expectation. I'm not going to be very successful living out loud or living for more than myself. I live in expectation that when God's face shines upon me, that it's going to consume me because I sin so much, right? I live more quietly because it's more difficult for me to live out loud. And I honestly want to live more for myself than I want to live for other people. So there's very little chance of this stuff actually happening that we talked about today, but for one thing, and that's the actual fulfillment of this psalm, which is Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the psalm. He is God's graciousness. He is God's blessing. He is God's face shining upon us. He is the way of God. He is God's salvation. He's the reason that we praise. He's our gladness and our joy, and the one through whom God rules with equity and guides the nations. Without him, there would be no harvest of souls. There would be no one coming to the Father if it weren't for Jesus. But with him, there is a great harvest, and he has called us into this spreading, expanding circle of his blessing so that others can come into it. Jesus is that spreading circle. He has blessed us to call others to himself. So as we sing this next song, it's a good thing when the family of God comes together in unity. Let's lift up our voices as one voice, that the world may know that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So let's rise together.